Hey, Rafer.
Hey, Kristen.
I have a personal question to ask you this morning.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever taken drugs?
Well, it's funny you ask because I'm on drugs right now.
So am I.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm on drugs right now, too.
I've cut mine. It's not the pure stuff. I've cut mine with cream and sugar.
Oh.
How about you?
Look at you. Well, it's hard to cut Benadryl, but, you know,
we all do
the best we can when we're sick, don't we?
Oh, you have Benadryl? I might hit you up for some of that after the show.
Yeah, or maybe it's Claritin. It's one of those things,
okay.
You know, the ones that are supposed to decongest you and make you stupid.
I don't have a Benadryl connection. I've got to get one of those.
Oh, I have a confession. Mine's actually generic. They're pink pills that say something Fedry.
You don't want to mess with that street stuff, Kristen. You never know what you're getting.
Well, what if somebody on the street gave you a drug and they told you it could do great things for you, though?
You mean like make you super smart
and make
your eyes glow blue like Bradley Cooper's?
You know exactly where I'm going with this.
I do.
Surprise! We're talking about Limitless.
The latest drug movie about an illegal drug that gives you a 4-digit IQ, he says, makes you super energetic and charming and confident and all these great things.
Able to access every single neuron in your brain.
That's right.
At every single second of the day while you're on the pill.
That's right.
But would you want to take it?
I would. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to, you know what? Before I answer whether or not I would take it, let's introduce ourselves.
Okay.
This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
All right, so I would like to try this drug in the movie Limitless.
Sure, NZT-48. Right?
A great name. Sounds just like it's just rolls off the tongue.
Just rolls off the tongue. Right.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the plot of the movie. We pretty much said the whole plot, right?
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah. You get offered a drug that lets you access every part of your brain. However, there are little stumbling blocks along the way.
Yes.
Your deterioration, if you stop taking the drug.
Yeah. You lose some motor skills. You have some what would you call them? Kind of blackout episodes?
I think you get blackout episodes when you OD on the drug, I think.
Is that what it is?
I was getting the impression that the more he took, the more likely he was to have blackout episodes. Because
yeah.
Then he started taking handfuls where he blacked out. But
right.
Then when he tried to go off it entirely, or any of the characters did, because he comes across other characters who've taken it.
Right.
Then you deteriorate and you look like you don't comb your hair.
Right. That's right. And you also apparently see yourself walking around.
Oh, just like Black Swan, yeah.
Just like Black Swan, that's right. Yeah, he'll occasionally see himself walking across the street while he's standing on the corner. Little things like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just say something about the hair again?
Yeah. What about the hair?
I feel like they kept on trying to tell the story through the hair.
Yeah, right.
Remember how Bradley Cooper's hair is really bad in the beginning?
In the beginning,
he's
yes.
He's got the long hair ponytail.
Yeah, and we should say he plays a, what would you call him, a boozy, struggling novelist,
mm-hmm.
right, who can't, you know,
he's been working on his novel for years.
Right, for years. And he does actually have a book contract, apparently, but he's been working on it for years in his crummy, you know, New York apartment, which I think is maybe in Chinatown?
Yeah.
Yeah,
in
okay.
Chinatown.
Right.
And he obviously had promise at one point. He had a
right.
wife at one point.
Yeah.
He had
girlfriend. Why was she a wife?
Oh, maybe that was. I
thought she was just a girlfriend.
Maybe she was a girlfriend.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. That's right. He did have a wife because the guy who gives him the NZT
is his former brother-in-law.
Former brother-in-law, right?
Yeah. So
correct.
He once was married. He once had promise. He had a book
right.
contract, and then before you know it, his hair is very
his
messy.
His hair is very.
It just looks awful.
Long and scraggly.
Yeah, it looks like he hasn't washed it in days.
Right.
Yeah. But then his hair gets really good.
Yeah. Right.
I mean,
NZT,
in that,
man.
Yeah.
It's a volumizer as well, this NZT.
It's just like mousse. And then, but then his hair starts getting a little messy again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's when things get out of control.
Yes.
Right. Now tell me, how did you like this movie? Like, because I think the premise seemed neat to me. Like, I was kind of into the movie when the trailers were coming around and when the posters were around. I kind of thought, that's a cool idea. I like movies like that. Did you feel that it lived up to its premise?
I think you're going to disagree with me, but I loved it.
You loved it?
I loved it.
Oh,
I was
no.
cheering. I was on the edge of my seat. I thought, this sharp, deliberate editing is so stylish, and
Kristen,
I'm being sucked right into this.
You're kidding me.
Oh, I loved it.
Really?
I cannot believe you don't. What is wrong with you? You didn't.
I thought that movie was. I thought that movie was so goofy from start to finish.
In a good way.
No. Okay. Here. Can I put forward my. I'm so shocked.
I can't believe this. I totally thought you'd be on the same page as me.
I thought you would be on this on the correct same page as me,
oh,
Kristen.
Oh, snap. Well, correct page. Okay, go ahead.
All right. This was my first criticism of the film as I'm watching it. So, the brother-in-law showed, the former brother-in-law shows up, you know, tells him, you know, what the drug can do, blah, blah, blah. He takes the drug and the voiceover, he's got a voiceover running through it. Most films with voiceovers are terrible, and this one included. So he's got this voiceover and he says something like, he keeps telling you what the drug is like. You know, I wasn't high, I wasn't wired, I was just clear, you know. and the only problem was if I didn't feel like I was moving forward, I thought I was going to explode. And he's got all this energy and he stays up. And the whole time I keep thinking, we have that drug, it's called cocaine. and I couldn't figure out why this Hollywood film took this breathless tone toward the movie. I just kind of thought, are you telling me that nobody in Hollywood has ever taken cocaine? Like, aren't you guys kind of synonymous with cocaine? Why would this movie be so extraordinary to you? Why would the effects of this drug be so unheard of to you? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I can see where you're coming from. I didn't think about that when I was watching the movie, but okay. Now that you're saying it, yeah.
I just kept seeing all these studio executives in the pitch meetings, you know, like starting to, you know, rubbing their nose, you know, kind of anxiously thinking, yeah, that'd be good to have some of that right now, actually. But I just – the idea that this drug would sort of blow anyone's mind, I didn't buy it. Do you know
what
I mean?
Was your biggest criticism, that you didn't think that the – drug was that impressive?
No, he
could learn languages in 30 minutes. How are you not impressed by that? The novel that he never got past page 10 on?
Yeah, writes it in
finished,
a day.
Yeah.
Right.
That's not the same as cocaine, because let me just say, as far as I know about people on cocaine.
Yes.
I've been at parties before.
Okay.
I've seen people on cocaine. They don't write novels in a day. They mostly just talk about themselves and are kind of irritating.
Having read Keith Richards' autobiography, basically every song we know by the Rolling Stones appears to have been written on cocaine, combined with many other drugs as well. And he really had it down to a science, apparently. But he had some very great pharmaceutical-grade Merck cocaine all throughout the 70s and basically powered his entire career on it. He did really well on that stuff, I have to say.
Okay. I can see what you're talking about.
But didn't you feel that the side effects of the drug, the downsides, the upsides, it was all just a little muddled. Do you know? I mean, like, is it going to kill you? Is it going to make you black out? Do you have to keep taking it? Do you have to stop taking it? Do you know what I'm saying?
Just like cocaine.
Just like cocaine. Also, I want to point out, here's my problem with the film. Neither Bradley Cooper, the main character, nor the film are as smart as they think they are, right? It takes him till like the end of the film to say, you know what I ought to do? Make more. Like, it takes him like 90 minutes to decide maybe what I should do, since now I like have, you know, an endless brain capacity and I'm apparently able to solve Wall Street and, you know, think of everything before it happens. Maybe I should make more of this drug.
Now, remember, the drug doesn't make you a genius. It makes you tap into your full capacity.
It gives you a 4-digit IQ. He says so. 4 digits.
When people are reaching their full potential, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be Einstein. Everyone's full potential is different. And
okay,
maybe his
true.
Full potential doesn't allow him to come up with ideas like, I'll make more of this drug. Right?
It only leads him to Wall Street, which is where everyone thinks all the smart people go, right?
So
if I were smart, I'd go to Wall Street. Right?
Well, okay. All right. So obviously you hate this movie. Can you think of better drug movies?
Better drug movies.
Movies where the drug is a main character in the movie.
The first thing that occurs to me is one of my favorite movies, Altered States. Did you ever see Altered States?
No, I don't know this
Okay, 1980. Ken Russell directing. It was sort of like Ken Russell's commercial movie. William Hurt plays this guy who does these experiments based on real experiments, apparently, where he goes he takes all these psychedelics, LSD and DMT and what's the other one? Psilocybin, which I think is in peyote. No, it's the mushrooms. So he takes all these, you know, sort of 60s style drugs and puts himself into an isolation tank. Remember those flotation tanks, those dark isolation tanks?
Oh, like in the movie The Cell?
Oh, I didn't see The Cell.
Oh, J-Lo's butt looks great in it.
But oh, well.
I'm sorry. I'm always bringing up J-Lo's butt.
I'm glad you do. but so he goes into this isolation tank and essentially he begins to devolve. He goes back further into time. He becomes a kind of a caveman, then like an actual ape. And then he's actually in danger of becoming like primordial ooze. So it's this really – I think it's this really interesting movie because it's so – even though it was made in 1980, it's got this very 60s, 70s idea, right, of like you could change your reality by taking drugs, you know, which I think is always the – that's always the draw in a drug movie.
Is this a pro-drug movie?
Not really because, you know, I mean, who wants to really be primordial ooze, right? And, of course, he has to depend on the love of a good woman to bring him back to
reality. Of course.
Reality,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
Yeah, the civilizing influence of a woman.
I'm glad it's not moralizing because I hate the moralizing drug movie just as much as I hate the romanticizing celebratory drug movie.
Yes.
I don't like either of those, which is one reason I really love Drugstore Cowboy.
Oh, Drugstore Cowboy. Yeah, that's a good movie.
I think it's so smartly shot. I know you don't like the voiceover movie, but it's a voiceover
True.
Movie. But I think it's so enjoyable to watch because the characters are – they're almost like Bonnie and Clyde in
mm-hmm,
a way.
Yeah.
They have a family. They call themselves the family.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
They drive around and it's like a heist movie. They go around holding up drugstores and
right.
hospitals, stealing pharmaceuticals.
Right.
And we have a main character who's really interesting because he's got all sorts of charms. But he also has superstitions and in some ways is just a little boy.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
life is not 100% good or 100% bad for him.
That's true.
And you wouldn't ever want his life, but it is really interesting to watch.
Yes, and it is somewhat glamorous. He's very stylish. He's got that great leather jacket. That was the first time I'd seen one of those cool leather car coats in a movie before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That really kicked off the trend, I think.
So it's all about the leather jacket.
Yeah. Well, for me it is. For me it is, yeah. I guess so.
Are there drug movies that you hate more than Limitless?
Drug movies I hate more than Limitless. Yeah, you know, probably one of my least favorite drug movies, maybe one of my least favorite films is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, the Johnny Depp film.
I have a confession that I've never seen it.
It has this huge following. People love that movie.
And yeah, every year on Halloween I see them walking around with that outfit on.
Is that right, with the Hunter S. Thompson?
Yes.
Yeah, well, people love it and again, a little bit like Limitless, I felt that it has this really corny idea of what it's like to be on drugs, you know, and of course it's all hallucinogens, right? So it's the, you know, the carpet is turning into water and that lady looks like a lizard and, you know, and it's the funhouse mirror, you know, the fisheye lens. And
that sounds like those ABC after school specials I used to watch as a kid.
Totally.
Oh no, I'm about to jump out the window because I think I can fly.
Exactly. That's exactly what it's like. And it's just such a hokey idea of what it's like to be on a drug. It's hard, though. It's hard to, in a movie, without resorting to the usual, you know, distortion and, you know, fuzzy lenses and the funhouse thing where you warp everyone's face. It's hard to get that across, to get across what it's like to be on a drug in a movie, realistically and effectively. It's rare.
I agree with you. I think more often than not, I don't actually like drug movies.
Yeah.
I was making a list before we met up today, and I was just thinking about how many I loved and so how many I hated. And the ones I hated, such a longer list.
But
at the top of that is Dazed and Confused, Linkletter. I just freaking hate,
you hate
Dazed
that.
And
oh,
Confused.
Oh, you hate that movie. No kidding.
What? You like it?
I'm going to make a confession to you. I have never seen Dazed and Confused.
Oh, don't waste your time.
Come on, really? That's another movie with a huge following. People love that movie.
People like a lot of things that are stupid.
You mean like Limitless?
Oh, no, Rafer. No, Dazed and Confused is – think about every irritating person who was stoned in your freshman dormitory at college.
Right.
And the conversations they had.
Right.
Which were not even interesting back then. But right. Now make yourself a grown-up and have to listen to those conversations.
Ouch.
And – okay, so there's no plot.
Yeah, right.
And maybe the – plot is trying to just emulate what it's like to be trapped in a room with these freshmen in the dorm who are stoned. I'm not really sure what they were thinking there.
Right.
But it's so boring. It's so self-indulgent. And I think it's really celebratory of marijuana, but celebratory in this way where the filmmakers and characters seem to love it and isn't this great. But they're so irritating that I think it's an advertisement for why not to hang out with people who smoke marijuana.
You think Dazed and Confused is the real ABC after school special? kids, this could be you.
No, I like after school specials.
You do?
See, that's the difference there. No, did you ever see the one with Helen Hunt where she's high on the LSD and throws herself out a window, lands in front of a car two stories down?
No.
And then she gets up and runs. It's so
wow.
good. Wow. Oh, before her Oscar, Helen That's Hunt.
Yeah, really. That sounds like more of an advertisement for the drug, if you're able to do that. I'll take that. I'll take that drug in a heartbeat.
Speaking of that, how are you doing right now? You feeling good?
I'm doing good. I feel – I'm not high. I'm not wired. I'm just clear. I'm just clear.
Me too, Rafer. If you want to get regular updates from Movie Date or give us suggestions, text the word movies to 69866.
And, Kristen, you can become a fan of Movie Date on Facebook if you want to give us feedback on the podcast or suggest the movies that we should see next.
Excellent.